Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Purposes for us as a church and even as a nation. We honor you, dear Father, for our nation and for your blessings upon our nation and this continent. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to look at the subject of Christian leadership, leadership as a whole, but more specifically, we are looking at Christian leadership, and we want to take a text from Matthew chapter 20. And then verse 25 to 26, Jesus Christ says that, "But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you." I want you to note that. He says that, "Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave." Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ is telling us something very important about leadership over here, that there is a difference between leadership in the world and leadership in the church. In other words, there is Christian leadership and then there is leadership in the world. So you see, Jesus Christ told them that the people of this world, those who do not recognize him as Lord and Savior of their lives, those people, there is a way that they exercise authority over people they are leading. But verse 26 tells us that it shall not be so among you. In other words, Jesus is cautioning us that we should be careful that we do not import the world's way of leadership into the way that he wants leadership among Christians or the church to be. So Jesus Christ is giving us a very important understanding, because all of us who are believers, who are children of God, we are all living in a nation, and the nation is as it were not the church. So the leadership in the nations of the world is different from the leadership in the church. And God says that we should be careful we do not import what we see, the kind of leadership that we see in the world, the way that people who do not take him as Lord and Savior of their lives, the way that people in the world lead, it's not the way that he wants his church to be led. It's not the way that he wants us to exercise leadership. Hallelujah. So that is a very important distinction we need to bear in mind, because sometimes we have the style of the world, the way that people do not know the Lord, the way they lead people. Jesus put it this way. He says that they lord it over them, but it shall not be so among you. Sometimes you want to look at maybe a leader that you admire so much, maybe a president somewhere you admire so much, and his style and all that, the way he talks, the way that he commands his people, the way he deals with his people, and because you like him, you want to import the same thing into the church. Jesus says that it shall not be so among you. The other thing I want us to quickly understand is that the way that leadership is in the Old Testament is different from leadership in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ led us, or God led us internally. But in the Old Testament, God was leading people externally. So he gave them a lot of laws, not just 10 laws, over 600 laws that regulated the way that people had to conduct themselves. So I want us to understand that apart from the fact that we should not import the way that the world leads its people into Christianity, we should also not import the way that the Old Testament leadership is into the New Testament. If you read the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, the Bible makes us to know that God is at work in you to make you willing and able to obey His good pleasure. So in the New Testament, God is at work in us. You need to understand that in the Old Testament, God was with humanity, as it were. The Spirit of God was with humanity. The Spirit of God sometimes was upon humanity, but the Spirit of God was not in humanity, residing inside of human beings the way that He is residing inside of us right now. So Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 tells us that for it is God who works in you. And I want you to note, in you. In the New Testament, God is living in us. Jesus Christ is living by His Spirit in us. And so because of that, He is working in us to make us willing and able to do of His good pleasure. So in the New Testament, it is influencing people internally the way that God does it. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, it is leadership is influencing people externally. And Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10 to verse 11 speaks to this issue, that there is a difference between the way that God led us in the Old Testament, led human beings in the Old Testament, and now the way that He is leading us. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10 says that, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." Hallelujah. The Bible is teaching us something very awesome in the way that God handles us or leads us and expects us to lead people. He says that this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, says the Lord, talking about our time. There is a prophecy in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31 or so, and he's talking about something that is happening to us now under Jesus Christ. He says, "I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts." In other words, in the Old Testament, the law was not written on the hearts of human beings. It was written externally. Hallelujah. And the law was not written in their mind. It was something external. Okay. But now God says that I am going to do a new covenant. And in the new thing, I am going to write the thing on their hearts. Okay. And He says that so that nobody will even have to teach another person that know the Lord. Because from within, God Himself will be at work in human beings to make them willing and to make them able to do of His good pleasure. I want us to strengthen this point in the book of John chapter 6 verse 45. We want to strengthen this point that God in the New Testament is working inside of us. And that is the way that He wants us to imitate as we try to lead His people or lead His church. Okay. John chapter 6 verse 45 says that it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. They shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Jesus is talking in John 6 45, and He says that nobody can come to Him except the Father draws him. That's verse 44. Except the Father draws him. And in verse 45, He is using a scripture to confirm it, that it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Everybody will have God working and teaching the person in his heart. The law is written in the heart.
Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Jesus is saying something very deep here. He says that if you see the crowd following me, it is because they have heard from my Father. Not heard from me, Jesus. They have heard from my Father. Says that they have learned from my Father. And it's because they have heard the voice of God and they have learned from the Father that when Jesus Christ speaks to them, they follow him. So leadership in the New Testament is something that is done within. It's an influencing within. As we go on, you will get to understand how this thing comes about. Hallelujah. So God wants us to understand that we should not import the way that he was leading people in the Old Testament into the New. In the New Testament, he says that I am at work in them and I influence them internally. And Jesus says that even me myself, I cannot get people to follow me so that I become a leader over them until my Father has taught them. They have heard the voice of my Father. They have learned from my Father. And then when I speak to them, they will come to me. What does it teach us about leadership? It teaches us that we must allow God to go ahead of us, human leaders in the church or Christians. We must let God go ahead of us and speak to people in their hearts. It is when God has done that, that we can be able to influence them by what we say unto them. So we need to understand that the way that the world leads its people is different from the way Jesus Christ wants us to lead. And the way that God himself was leading in the Old Testament is different from the way that he's leading in the New Testament. Hallelujah. So we must yearn that we would follow God. We will follow his style. Now, the other thing I want us to note about leadership is that leadership is a divine work. This is a fallout from the first point, that leadership is a divine work. It's not a human work. So if you do not allow God to go ahead of you and God to lead the people and work in the people, his law in their hearts, hearing the voice of God, being taught by God and all that, you cannot lead them. You cannot lead them. That's what Jesus taught. I cannot lead them, Jesus said, unless I see that my Father has done something within them. Hallelujah. So leadership is a divine work. It's not a human work. All right? Because God actually did not create man to lead man. If you look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, it said, let us make man in our image and let him have dominion over the earth. In essence, the earth. So God actually, if you read the time of the beginning of the creation of man, God's intention was not for man to lead man originally. So God did not put Eve under Adam or Adam under Eve. Hallelujah. It was after the fall of man, when man sinned, that God came upon the scene and said that the woman was going to be subservient to the man and the man will rule over the woman. But before the fall, God wanted to lead humanity all by himself directly. Because leadership is what? A divine work. It's not a human work. This is one of the reasons why God was disappointed at Israel for asking for a physical king. And when Samuel was lamenting, God said that Samuel, they have rejected me as their king because they desire a physical king over them. So if you know about what is going to happen in future, Jesus is going to come physically during the millennium, a thousand-year rule on this earth when he comes again, and he's going to rule physically because that is the original intent of God, that he himself will physically rule directly man and not man ruling man. I've said this just to make us to understand that leadership is a divine work. You can't do it well without God. It is not a matter of I am great, I can do it. It is not a matter of a can-do spirit. Hallelujah. It is a divine work and you need to acknowledge that one. Actually, the New Testament is about Christ or Jesus Christ leading us. The Old Testament is about you leading Christ. Now, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 following, it makes you to understand this thing, that in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ was actually following the church in the wilderness. Okay? Jesus, the Bible says that they drank of the rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. So the Old Testament people were leading Jesus, because he was that rock that was following them, not leading them, following them. But in the New Testament, or the New Testament is about Jesus leading us.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So after the church in the wilderness, the people who were redeemed out of Egypt, the Jews out of Egypt, Jesus was following them, and we were following Jesus. So Jesus is following us, or leading us rather, in the New Testament. And I need to make you to know that there are results that you get from Jesus following you, which is different from the result that you get from Jesus leading you. Because you see, you can be in the New Testament, you can be a believer on the Christ right now, but still live in the old. In other words, you will still have Jesus following you instead of you allowing Jesus to lead you. You following Jesus. Hallelujah. So we need to watch, because if Christ follows you, as it happened in the New Old Testament, you will be fine. The people of old, the Jews out of Egypt, they were fine. But the result of Jesus leading you is far higher than Jesus following you or being in your company. So Christ can be with you as he was with the Old Testament church, providing for them and things like that. But he was not leading them. And so God was not altogether excited about those people. Being led by Christ is being led by his grace. Hallelujah. So that's an understanding that I need to have you grasp. You see, because sometimes we feel good as Christians, we feel excited that, well, God is taking care of me and all that. It means that everything is okay. But you yourself know that you are not led by Christ. You are led by something else. And there are various things that can lead you, even in the New Testament. Hallelujah. So we should not just rest on our hours and then feel that, well, we are great and things are fine because we are provided for as in the Old Testament. Jesus was with them. He was following them, but he was not leading them. May you be a New Testament believer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. I want you to also understand that God intends all mankind to be leaders and not followers. The intention of God is for all human beings to be leaders and not followers. In the kingdom of God, Jesus is King of Kings. He is not King of followers. He is a King of Kings. He leads kings. All right? And a king is not a follower. A king is a leader. So in the kingdom of God, leaders follow. All right? So I want you to begin to see yourself as a king and see yourself as a leader. Revelations chapter 1 verse 6 and chapter 5 verse 10 tells us that we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ in order to qualify us to be kings and priests unto his God and Father, To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelations 1 verse 6. He has made us. That's a past tense. He has made us kings and priests. A priest is a leader, not a follower. A king is a leader, not a follower. He has made us kings and priests. And the Bible says that to him be the dominion or the kingdom forever. In Revelations 5:10, he tells us clearly that we shall reign on this earth. So we are leaders. And God's intention is for every human being actually to become a leader or to know that he is a leader and not a follower. When you become a believer, much more you are sanctified and given leadership grace. So everybody is born a leader, especially if you are born again. You are a believer. You are born two times to become a leader. Somebody says that leaders are made, leaders are born, leaders are made, leaders are born. The Bible makes us to know that leaders are all born. Everybody is born a leader. Hallelujah. Right. The other thing I want you to understand is that the first person you have to lead is yourself. If you know that the first person you have to lead is yourself, then you know that you are a leader. Whoever you are, whether you are black, white, whether you are young, old, whoever, you are a leader. Hallelujah. And God expects us to lead ourselves. How does that happen in practical reality? What are the dynamics of us being leaders over ourselves? First of all, you understand this if you know that you are a tripartite being. In other words, you have a spirit, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. With your spirit, you contact the spirit world. With your soul, you contact the intellectual world. Okay? And then with your body, you contact the physical world. That's how God made us. He made us just like him. Okay? We have a spirit, or we are a spirit. We have a soul. The soul is talking about your will and your emotions and your mind or your intelligence, your intellect. It's all in the region of your soul. And then we know about the body. Now, if you have to lead yourself, what it means is that your spirit must lead your flesh and not the other way around. So these are the dynamics of you being a leader over yourself. Ask yourself, am I leading myself well? What does it mean? It means that you should let your spirit lead your soul and then your body. Okay? It shouldn't be the other way around. Some people are led by their souls. By that we mean they are led by their emotions, because emotions belong to the soul. They do things according to the way their mood and the way that they feel. They are full of emotions. Okay? But God doesn't want our souls to lead us. Emotions leading you is disaster. But God does not also want our will or our desires to lead us. Our desires must be subject to our spirit. So Jesus in Gethsemane, he said that not my will, but your will be done. His will was that he would not die, but God's will was that he would die. And he subjected how he was feeling and his desires and his wants to the will of God. Because God wants us to be led by our spirit. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27 speaks to this issue. Paul says that, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Says, I discipline my body. He sees himself as a spirit that has control over his flesh or his body. Okay? Says that I bring it into subjection. I let my spirit lead my body. So sometimes when you come to the house of God, even People let their mood lead them. I don't feel like praising God. I don't feel like standing up and all that. No. The Bible tells us something, that we should do all things with one mind. So when we say everybody should rise up, as long as you have strength, you put all your mood aside and you rise up. Lift up your hands. We lift up our hands unto the Lord. It's not what I want. Hallelujah. It is what God has prescribed to be done in His house. You may not feel like praying, but God says pray. You may not feel like listening, but God says that listen to my word. You may not feel like doing something, but God says that I want you to do that. If you are led by your desires or by your will, by your soul, then it is what you want. It's not what God has prescribed to be done in His house. So I want you to ask yourself again, am I really leading myself well? Am I leading myself well? Paul says that I discipline this body. Because if this body is not disciplined, it will sleep when it should not sleep. He says, I subject it to the spirit. Does the Bible say that we should come to church and sleep? No. So what do? You don't let your flesh lead you as to what to do. You control and discipline yourself. You bring it into subjection, unto what God desires. So God wants us to be successful leaders of ourselves before we can really lead people very well. It's important. That's the first place that you lead, is yourself. And secondly, you lead your family. The second place you lead is your family. The first place you lead is yourself. You let your spirit lead you, not your intelligence or your reasonings. Your reasonings are wonderful, right? But if your reasonings is leading you outside what God is telling you by the still small voice, you let your spirit, whose voice is the still small voice, lead you, and not the logic and the reason of your mind. Okay? Now, we need to, secondly, be leaders in our family, or lead our families. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and then verse 4 to 5 speaks to this issue. It's very important. Paul says something which is quite strong. I want us to read that. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and then verse 4 to 5. Says that one who rules, he's talking about the qualifications of a bishop or a leader in God's house, right? And he says that he should be one who rules his own house well, having his children in subjection with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? That's strong. Okay? So God says that we should be good leaders in our families, over our families. Okay? If you do not have a child, you should still be able to lead people, because it's not just a biological child, but you can have a foster child or maybe an adopted child, or you are not maybe of a marriageable age. There are people in your family that you must show leadership. That's the spirit of this verse that we just read. That leadership should start with you. It should go to your family secondly, and then you can think about leadership in the house of the Lord. Okay? Now, the other thing I want us to understand is that leadership is a grace. Leadership is a grace. It is not a position. Leadership is a grace. We have gone through saying that it is a divine work, not a human work. I'm developing it. I say that leadership is a grace. It is not a position. Now, if you understand this point very well, as I'm going to explain, you will not struggle for post or for position. Because whether you have post or you do not have post, you can lead. You can be a leader. Actually, great leaders like Jesus, they don't have positional power in Israel. He just led with personal power. He wasn't a political man. He wasn't the assembly man. He wasn't anybody. He wasn't even a leader in the church or in the temple. He was just Jesus of Nazareth. But he led. And that is how we must understand leadership. David was not the king of Israel positionally, but he had more influence than even the king, Saul. He wasn't the king, but he was more influential. he was leading the people of Israel. They themselves said, even when Saul was a king, you were the one who was bringing Israel in and taking them out. This was after Saul died. And so he said, look, come and lead us. Even when you didn't have the position of a king, still you had this leadership grace. So leadership is a grace. It is not a position. All right? It's a divine ability that we receive undeservedly, irrespective of our age, our gender, our education, or our race. So leadership is a divine ability, and we receive it by grace. Whether you are old or young or whatever thing does not matter. You can have a young person who has received this grace. You can have an old person who has received this grace also. So you can practically be a leader. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and then verse 10. Paul says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Paul is talking about laying the foundation of Jesus Christ in the personal lives of human beings. And he says that he did it by grace. In other words, leading human beings is a matter of grace. Okay? It's not a position. It is a grace. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Right? The other thing I need to make you to know, the sixth point, if you are putting down points, I need to make you to know that leadership is a process. Leadership is a process. It is not static. Okay? Everything that God gives has the potential of growth.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.